What's going on, people? You're locked into The Point Podcast. Welcome to the show.
We are the boys. We are the boys.
What's going on, people? You're listening to The Point with your boy Mike.
Enoch.
Afo.
We are The Point.
So Afo wanted us to do harmony. We are The Point, like we're a barbershop quartet. But today we have a very, very special guest in the building. Special guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Not really, no. Yes, yeah, my name's Nathan, Nathan Bosso.
Hey, strong name.
Thank you.
Wait, Bosso, what is that? Where are you from?
Well, my parents are from Ghana. I'm from Ghana, but I was born here.
Ah, it's the same.
It's the same. It's the same.
Don't quiz me on that.
Oh, you're not?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I know more tree than our Ghanaian
guest. What?
Do you know tree? Do you know tree?
Oh, okay. No, my parents came from two different parts. So they speak English at my house, literally.
Oh,
so
I don't wow. Yet. Oh, so
it's
man.
It's a bit peak. Yeah, this happens all the time, yeah.
It's calm.
Cool. So what, when people ask you this, people say, oh, peak, because at the same time?
For me, it's peak because people expect me to know the language.
Oh, okay.
They like, say the words to me, and I'm just like, nah.
It's coming through with the tree, and you're
I'm just like, hello. Straight English, but yeah.
Yes, my man. Well, we're glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to be talking about the Bible and science.
Yes, yes.
And Mr. Nathan has a lot of information for us to enlighten us with.
Hopefully.
And we're going to be talking basically about, like, you know, the Bible and science, they tend to be opposing, you know, concepts in society. People tend to think that if you're either a Scientologist or, you believe in science or you believe in the Bible. And I guess
Jediism.
Yeah,
Jediism.
So hopefully we're going to be able to have a discussion about, you know, just trying to merge the concepts and actually see that they two actually complement each other, I guess.
As opposed
to oppose each other.
Yeah.
So, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. Nathan, actually, before we continue, tell us a bit about yourself. Where did you come from? Obviously, we know you're from you was born here. tell us your background. What did you study? Where did you study? What are you doing now? You know?
Yeah. So I was born in Croydon. That's where I've kind of lived all my life. So obviously these ends are like foreign to me because this is southwest, isn't it?
This is southeast, guys.
Southeast.
We're southeast as well, guys.
Yeah, that's how that's about it. Anyway,
I'd say my postcode, but then that's how people will come and find me.
So I'm a musician. I kind of grew up in church, I guess, like most of us here. Grew up in church. My dad and my mum were musicians, and my brother as well. Jeez. So I kind of picked up music from them.
That's why he's a beast.
Not even. Started out on drums when I was about 8 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I did music for high school, sixth form. Took it to university. Mm-hmm. That's where I met Enoch.
Don't know. ACM.
Yeah, you know.
Shout out.
Yeah. I don't know about the shout out, but
you know what? Yeah, Bun ACM. I'm joking.
I did my course in ACM. I did music performance, which was cool. Met a lot of good people there. Sorry. Made a lot of contacts and stuff. I kind of, since then, just been doing music kind of full-time as a profession. I kind of started full-time during ACM, I think. Yeah, it was during my first year. That's kind of when I became a professional, as they call it. Wow. Obviously, I've still got a long way to go. But but moving on from that.
Just before we move on, like, what instruments do you play?
Oh, sorry, of course. Drums is my... that was my first, but my main instrument is bass guitar. So sick. I studied the bass degree performance course. ACM, yeah, which was good.
Did you say Greek performance?
No, bass degree.
See, I'm not listening.
I thought you said Greek as well.
I
say there's a Greek bass.
Yeah,
Greek. We're playing terms, just
yeah,
language.
Yeah, yeah. No. I don't know about that. No, I don't even know what I said now. It's all in bass degree. That's performance, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I said bass degree.
Dope.
And because your parents were musicians, they were happy for you to go to music school. There wasn't that kind of, you know, you must go and be a doctor or a lawyer.
It was actually the complete opposite. When I say they were musicians, it's not like they were like professional musicians or whatever.
Okay.
They were playing in church. But when it comes to, you know how it is with African parents, you know, when it comes to taking it as a full-time career, it was that thing of, you know, become a lawyer or a doctor or that.
So I went through that whole thing. How did you convince them?
To be honest, it was kind of just continuing on because I used to literally just practice for hours in my room just playing bass and stuff when I should have been doing my homework and stuff, of course. And at first, like, it was good for me because I loved it, but my parents were happy. But as time went on, they kind of saw I started to get work basically, and when the money started coming in, obviously.
And money will change your parents' minds.
Yeah. And they could see some progress. They could actually see me actually doing stuff in the industry, and I had contacts and stuff and all that stuff. So it took some time. Absolutely, it took years to be honest. But yeah, now they're more than happy to see me doing this stuff because they're proud of me and all of that stuff. So nice. Can only thank God.
Jeez.
Nice. Can only thank God.
Now. Actually, the first time I heard you talked about, you know, science and the Bible and stuff, I didn't even know you was into it, because obviously I knew you as the beast, the bass player, Beast, Bosso. Well.
Bass. Wait, is that your stage name? Bosso. That sounds sick, you know. Bosso.
Bosso the beast bass.
Bosso the beast bass. What?
I'm actually a spectator.
Obviously I knew you as like a musician, full-time musician. And then I think you invited me to one of your events.
Yep.
And
that's true.
And that's when I was just like, rah, boy, you know your stuff. So how did you get into that? How did you like get into studying the Bible into that deep?
Yeah.
How did you get into that ocean?
A few things happened to me. But I'll just mention the main things. Like the first thing that got me into it was very random. Like, it was at uni. I was literally... I've never been into science, so randomly I was at home in my uni house and there was like a video you see like on YouTube where those adverts come up, they direct you to another video. One of the adverts was this guy called Derek, his channel's called Veritasium, and it was a science kind of thing about the speed of light and can you travel at the speed of light. It's got nothing to do with, you know, the Bible and science and all that. He's just a normal scientist guy. So I watched that video and for some reason I just really enjoyed it, and that, like, honestly, this is to this day, I think it was just God, because from that led me to listening to, you know, Christian scientists, because I've never been into science or whatever. Literally, there's no reason for me to be doing what I'm doing. But it was from that video, literally. And then I found this guy called Kent Hovind, who's a creation kind of speaker, kind of what I do, but on a mega level. So from him, he was kind of the first person that got me into it. And the other thing that kind of proper got me into it was when I got back to London from studying at Guildford. I went to one of my friends, his dad was having a church conference, and there was a guy that was inside the building of the church, and it was like a church conference on the Bible and stuff, and, you know, just showing what the Bible says and all that stuff. So this guy was in the church and he was kind of just questioning, basically. And I got into a conversation with him. He's not a Christian. He's a skeptic of the Bible, and he just finished me off. Like, literally, he smashed me up with the Bible, man. He
smashed, like, you up,
mate. When I say, obviously not literally, but when I say he questioned me to the point I couldn't answer anything. Like, I don't want to go into it now, but a lot of things I just couldn't answer. And the thing I realized when I look back at it now is because when I was at that point, I kind of thought, because as Christians, we kind of tend to have that whole thinking that we know everything about the Bible when we really, honestly, we don't. Even at that point, when he was questioning me, I still thought that I knew everything, even though I wasn't answering anything. But then now that I look back on it, I can see that I literally got finished. Like, he just destroyed me on that. And that was probably those two things were probably the two major turning points when I realized that, like, we, you know, we need to be ready, basically. Yeah. So yeah, it was those two things, and that was about 2 years ago, I think.
Boy, I'm not gonna lie. I don't feel like I've been finished before, but I've had questions that kind of made me stop and be like, yeah, I'll get back to you tomorrow.
I'll be real with you. I put myself in a position not to be finished because I know I will be finished.
Fair enough. It's a bit mad.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Interesting. No, what you just said actually reminded me of this verse. Mm. It's in 1 Peter 3:15.
Correct.
It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I guess, like, you know, for believers of the Bible, I think where the faith element is there. So it's like, I believe, you know, even though I do not see, I believe.
Yep.
But there is also that kind of, that need to have knowledge and that need to actually acquire knowledge. You know, like scriptures that talk about, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't know why it is you believe what you believe, other than the fact that I had an experience in church and I was saved and I came to know Christ and I came to know him as Lord and Savior. If you don't have the knowledge, you're going to perish because whilst that moment was tangible and you felt that, it won't sustain you in the journey when people are asking you, why do you believe in an unseen God? Like, why should I believe in that?
So
what's your take on that?
Yeah, man, 100% correct. I think, and there's a team in America, Answers in Genesis, who've done the research on this, where they found out that basically 75% of teenagers, when they grow up in church, by the time they get to college, high school, college, all that stuff, university, they've left the Christian faith.
They know.
Because university changes their thoughts. And it's all to do with the foundations. So if we're looking at scriptures, the scripture you were talking about, for example, Hosea 4:6, perish for lack of knowledge. Exactly. That's Hosea 4:6. And other scriptures such as Psalms 11:3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yeah. Exactly. Mm. And it's true, because that's exactly what we're seeing now in this, especially in this country. People are literally losing their foundations. And when one thing I read as well is that people don't really tend to view the world from the biblical perspective at all, in terms of what the Bible says on the foundations. Everyone kind of tends to view the world as, I'll be honest, what the secular scientists teach, which is evolution and all that stuff, and that's the average mindset of people today. And when I speak to people on this topic, and people that aren't Christians, they kind of like, they're so set in that way of secular science and all that stuff that they can't. I don't know how to explain it, but the logic of the Bible and science mixing together, to them, they just don't see it. But when you look at what they're saying, it actually doesn't make any sense if you were to actually do real science. Mm-hmm. Like, what they're saying doesn't make any sense. But because they want to latch onto what they're saying, what secular science teaches, because obviously they don't want to be a Christian, because they don't want to change their lifestyle. So that's why they're going to latch onto that. But yeah, it's a heavy issue, because it's literally destroying people's faith, just not having the knowledge, literally. So it's something that needs to be tackled, I'd say.
Yeah. So I feel like the main reason why a lot of my experience with the Bible is it reliable? I mean, I've had people, when I say I've had people finish me, but like, people question me, like, oh, what version do you read? This, that the Bible has been rewritten. One of my biggest questions. How reliable is the Bible? Like, how do I know what is written is exactly what was said back then?
Yeah, good question. Well, let me put it this way. If the Bible isn't reliable, then no other world religion couldn't even say that they were worth believing. Let's put it that way, to put a foundation there, because the Bible is reliable in the sense of when you look at what historians and scholars do and all of that stuff. If you're just gonna compare the major world religions, Hinduism, Muslim, Islam rather, and Buddhism, if you're just going to compare those three, they're the major three world religions, you could say.
Yeah.
The Bible completely outdoes them. in terms of historical evidence, accuracy, and all of that stuff. Okay. You can't, like, literally, you can't say that you believe in one of those, and you can't put them as equal. A lot of people do this whole thing of, you know, which religion should I choose? You know, there's many out there. If they looked at the history, honestly, it wouldn't even be a choice. You'd have to be a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why people don't want to be Christians, because when you look at the actual evidence, it points directly to Christianity. If you look at the scientific evidence, the historical evidence, the philosophical evidence, all of it points to Christianity. But the reason people don't want to do that, become Christians, is obviously because Christ made a whole bunch of claims, whereas no other world religion has done that. And basically, you have to become a Christian. There's no other option. But people that just don't want to do that. Romans 1, 18 talks about that as well. Mm. It says that people suppress the truth and unrighteousness. So when we're talking about the reliability of, when we're talking about that reliability of scripture, and the first few things I'd like to tell people to remember is that, unlike any other world religion, the Bible was written by over 40 different authors, firstly, over a span of, now it's been confirmed to be about 2,000 years.
Isn't it a lot more than that?
What's that?
Isn't it not a lot more than 2,000 years? Because isn't 2,000 years when Jesus died?
It's
born, isn't it? Is it born? Was it dead?
No, but it's throughout. The thing is, it's even before, because scripture's been written kind of.
Yeah, we're talking about from Genesis.
I'm talking about, I'm talking about from Genesis. Yeah, no,
he's saying the span from when Genesis basically to like Revelations was written is 2,000 years, not necessarily
I thought it was
that.
Like 3,000.
Yeah,
I would have thought it'd be like 3,000.
No, it used to be what I had heard previously was 1,500, but now it's been confirmed. It's not exactly 2,000, but it's
around that.
Around 2,000, yeah, exactly. Which is, to be honest, that's great. That's great, because we've got obviously references from people who've never met each other, if you think about it. An example of that is Psalms 22, and that's King David, and then Christ, when Christ dies on the cross. When Christ is on the cross, he says these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Everyone knows those scriptures.
Yeah.
The issue is, in Psalms 22, David says the exact same words, yet he's not being put on a cross. That's 1,000 years prior to anything Roman. The Roman era wasn't even around at that time. Say again.
David was like the second king of Israel.
So basically, King David, he's 1,000 years prior to Christ. But basically, if you read through Psalms 22, he talks about everything that happens to Christ 1,000 years before it happens to Christ. But David never went through a crucifixion, did he? Obviously, David never. There wasn't even a Roman era. David didn't even know what crucifixion was. So how on earth was he talking about the exact events that happens? He talks about the blood piercing on the side, the dogs that compass around him, you know, God's left him and all of that stuff. Everything that happens to Christ, when you read Matthew, I think it's, if I'm correct, Matthew 27, 47, something like that. It kind of, it outlines that. If that is correct, it's somewhere around there anyway. Mm-hmm. But just compare them. So when we're looking at scripture, that's just one example of where it's a prophecy, of course. Yes, that's a prophecy. And you can't really have that unless you've got some divine intervention. Obviously, that shows that there's got to be a God there. So that's one method. But in terms of historical evidence now, what historians and scholars mainly do is look at how close the documents are to the events, basically. So how close are Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, which are the four gospels, how close are they to the actual event of Jesus Christ dying and raising again? That happens with anything. How, in terms of if someone was alive or not, for example, Alexander the Great, he was one of the Greek kind of kings. He was prior to Jesus, around the Greek era. So he died, but the only documents that come out about him are 300 years after. So obviously, there's a bit of a reliability issue there now, because that's a 300-year gap where you don't know what might have happened between. You don't know who's edited that out. But now, when you're going to compare another religion, let's look at another religion before we go to Christianity. Let's look at Hinduism, for example. So apparently, 5,000 years ago, their god or whatever gave the words that... sorry. Is that rude? I don't know.
No, go. It's cool.
Gave the words of the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of their texts, basically about 5,000 years ago. But the issue is, the only like actual documents we've got of that now come about in the 12th century, which is a gap of 4,200 years. Wow. So you've got a gap of 4,200 years before any document you get with them. Compare that to Buddhism. Buddhism came about 2,500 years ago, or 500 BC. The only texts that come out about Buddha are almost 1,000 years after he died. Now, we're going to compare that with Christianity. Christianity, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were written within 70 years of Christ dying. Obviously, that's a big, that's a tiny space compared to 1,000 years or 5,000 years. If you're looking at the actual dates for them, they usually date Mark at 60 to 70 AD. Jesus died 33, roughly AD. So that's literally within 30 years, maybe. That's not that much at all. That's fine. You could write about your life 30 years later, couldn't you? And it would be accurate. Mm. So you could call that accurate because 30 years after Christ is accurate. Matthew, so that's Mark. Matthew is about 70 to 80 AD. That's, again, about 40 years, if anything. If you mark Luke is about 85 and John is about 95. So all the gospels are literally within less than 100 years. If you're going to compare that to Buddhism or Hinduism, like that's already blown them out of the water. Like you can already see that. So when we're looking at, and scholars know this, even critical scholars are aware of this and they can't deny the fact. So when we're looking at the reliability, the Bible's won there already. Mm. And that's one of the biggest things. Literally, so that just shows for me, that's one of the things. There's many other areas, of course, but that's one of them.
Mm. Yeah. Muhammad Ali's prime, probably like early 70s, early 70s. That is over 30 years ago. Even 40 years. Over 40 years ago.
It was actually the 60s, his prime.
Prime.
Yes, cuz.
Okay. Prime was early 70s.
Oh, it's true. Let's get to the point.
his life is still documented, and people can still tell stories about him. Like you see all these documentaries, you get old people talking about Muhammad Ali, and they remember everything clearly.
So we take
their words into account. Whereas obviously Jesus's disciples, they started to write these things 30 years afterwards. And that's even shorter.
Exactly. Yeah.
So reliability, boy.
And even with that, we've even got earlier documents than 30 years. We can go as close as within actually 2 to 3 years of Christ's death and resurrection. Not documents, but oral tradition. 1 Corinthians 15 is actually Paul writing the first official creed, which is the document that kind of basically states that Jesus is God and Holy Spirit and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That document's actually dated to 55 AD. So that's actually a gap of just 22 years, if I'm correct. 33 AD to 55 AD. What's that?
20?
About 22. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 22. So that's early. And the funny thing about that document is that he, at the beginning of that document, he says that he's referencing someone else. So obviously he heard that stuff from someone else earlier. So that shows that even 55 AD is, we could go even earlier than 55 AD, basically.
Does that mean that was like a historian of the time or someone,
Paul?
Yeah, that Paul is referencing Paul, there.
He would have been referencing most likely the people of the town, that we're talking about. Because what happens is at that time, there was an oral tradition, basically, heavy oral tradition. Mm-hmm. Back then, they could remember stuff. They could remember entire books, basically. Yeah. That was a standard for them. Whereas, obviously, we can't today because we've got so much technology. So he was probably referencing all the people that were speaking about it, which was probably everyone in the town of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So that was probably what he was, who he was referencing. Maybe some of friends of his at the time.
Mm. Yeah, because I guess one of the big questions for a lot of people is whether Christ actually existed. Mm. So whether he actually walked the earth. Yeah. Like some people say, he's just a made up figure. I know there are a lot of, shout out to the woke community. They say, Jesus is a reincarnation of Horus and things like that.
Big up to the woke community.
And there's all these other, gods and mythology and things like that, that people say, is just the stories align and they mirror.
Yeah.
I've done a bit of research into it, but not vastly.
Mm.
But I remember at university, there was a guy who came in to have a talk on Bible and science. Discussion.
Yeah.
And he was pointing us to a few of like the historians of the time that had actually, secular historians that had written accounts of this guy walking the earth.
We
saw Jesus, even as I've got one here in front of me that says, this is from a guy called Cornelius Tacitus, who's a Roman historian.
Mm.
And he says, sorry, Oh my gosh, where's the bit that I was finding? Okay, this cut. Okay, so it says here, Christus, which is Christ, the founder of the name, was put to death by Pontius Pilate, procurator of the Judea in the region of Tiberias. I'm going to read that again because I couldn't get that. So Christus, which is Christ, the founder of the name, was put to death by Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea in the reign of Tiberius. So it says again, like, it's just recounting the man's death, even though, you know, these are not theologians. These are not, you know, guys that are in the Christian community, but they're just, you know, historians.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess, it's just really interesting to see that those accounts, because I guess that brings skeptics, you know, tangible evidence that it's not just those who believe.
Yeah, exactly.
That can account for this as well.
Yeah, literally. When I say, like, you actually can't deny, like, you shouldn't be able to deny, like, the fact that people deny Christianity is just simply because they don't want to believe it. It's not based on evidence. Mm. Literally, any of those, like, horror stories, or when they say Christ wasn't alive, or like, you, I find it silly, to be honest, because you can't deny that stuff. And the entire reason is because people just don't want to be Christians, because if you're a Christian, then God has the right to judge you, essentially. And obviously, if you're living a morally wrong life, which obviously they might not know that, they don't want that to be the case. So they'll make up anything. You can make up anything to go against Christ.
to disprove it.
Yeah, and anything.
It's funny as well, because I'm not being funny, but like, when, like, you know, the Bible, there's a scripture that talks about how God has made it himself visible to us.
Romans 1:22.
So it talks about, you know, we've got the sky, we've got the trees, we've got all of these, we've got his creation here, and yet we still deny. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, like, for the person who thinks, oh, well, you know, God is man-made, or we've man-made God rather than God made man. Mm-hmm. What would you say to that person?
Oh, this is going more into the sciencey stuff, actually, but we can do it.
Oh, I have another question.
Yeah,
if I can save that one then.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Because the other thing I was gonna say, it's just more a comment than anything. But I think to myself, like, don't people think, like, why are we here? Like, how did we get here? Like, how is it that we're on an earth that spins on its axis, the sun rotates, you know, the sky is, the sun rises every morning, we're living, we're breathing, organism, like, sometimes I think, like, even just from a non-Christian perspective, like, do people not have that, you know, inquisition into why they're actually here?
Yeah.
Rather than just living life like, oh yeah, I'll just do what I want and we'll see what happens in the end. Because a lot of people have an idea that there is a God, but they don't believe.
Or maybe they just don't go, they won't look further into it because it's like, think about it like a movie.
Go ahead.
It's not racist. But think about in a movie, you see the white people, white people are always going to go to the danger.
Yes.
Black people are always going to run away.
But it's the black people that die first. I don't understand.
But I think that's how people see Christianity, or belief in a higher power, because they choose not to go to it because it might be seen as danger or scary. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I think that's how people see Christ as well, or any belief, or any religion.
I think it's more to what Nathan said. They just don't want to change their lifestyle.
That's it. Because like Young Thug said, people paid a lot to live this lifestyle. That song is rubbish, by the way.
But then even with the changing lifestyle thing, I don't want to shift the conversation, but I guess that even with the changing lifestyle thing, like, when people come to Christ, it's not a, okay, now you have to stop doing this and you have to stop doing this, but it's more like your eyes are open to
what are you, quote unquote, woke
to what you're doing, huh?
Are you woke then?
No,
your eyes are open.
Enlightenment. I say that I'm woke now, but I'm just saying, like, in the sense of, it's not behavior modification. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not like, okay, in order for you to have a relationship with God, you need to stop smoking now, or you need to stop having sex now, you need to stop, you know, taking drugs now. It's more because the love of God has now, your eyes have been opened to the love of God, you turn away from those things because you found something that's better.
All right, so we're going to play you a track from Time Remembered. It's a cover of I Can't Help It, originally by MJ. MJ Michael Jackson, featuring your boy Nathan on bass, Manly O'Connor on keys, Isaac Luanga on drums, Dave Niskin on guitar. Have I missed anyone out?
Vocals.
Vocal. Who's the vocals?
Alba Plada.
Alba Plada on vocals. And yeah, enjoy.
Looking in my mirror, to me but surprise, I could not but see you running out and through my mind, helpless like a baby, sensual disguise. I could not but love you. Better all the time. I can help it if I wanna do. Wouldn't happen even if I could. Can help it if I wanted to. I wouldn't have known. Can help it if I wanted to. Wouldn't happen even if I could. Can help it if I wanted to. No.
does science disprove the Bible? If you believe in science and you're a very scientific guy, can you also believe in the Bible? Yes. Can you believe that the Bible
is there? There are many, many PhD level scientists that are biblical believing Christians, and they do scientific work. There's whole organizations such as Answers in Genesis. Kent Hovind, he's got his own one, Creation Science Evangelism, ICR, Institute for Creation Research, full of PhD scientists who've done some incredible work. Another one, Ben Carson, he was running for president in America. He was the first black president, well, could have been a president, first black doctor to separate the Siamese twins, the twins that are conjoined at the head.
Wow.
And he's a Christian, he's a Bible believing Christian. Wow, and he was black, and he was the first doctor to do that in the world. So wow, to say that you can't be a scientist and a Christian is just ludicrous. And on top of that, when people say that, bottom line is they haven't looked at the Bible. They haven't actually done the comparisons between scripture and science. That's just it. Which is not, I wouldn't blame them, obviously, because if you've heard all your life that the science disproves Bible, then you're not really going to look at the Bible. Like, you're going to think that that's the truth, which is understandable. Yeah. But no, it doesn't at all. So we can go into it if you like.
Yeah, cool. So if it doesn't disprove it, then so how do they complement each other, science and the Bible?
Well,
how does the Bible even talk about science?
Yeah, of course, yeah, because you wouldn't think of the Bible as a scientific book, and it's not a scientific book. But bottom line, actually, is that science wouldn't be possible if the Bible wasn't real, if the Bible wasn't accurate. The foundations of science rely on the Bible, actually. Reason being is because science is based on... In fact, let's define science firstly.
Yeah.
Science comes from the Latin word scientia, scene, something like that, which means knowledge.
Come with it.
Whoa.
Wow!
Bring that knowledge.
Come through with the knowledge now. I love when they bring
the Latin.
Science is the
Latin word for science. La is siento.
La
you know. Wow.
All right then.
little bit gas.
Yeah. But the reason for defining, especially with Christian science, you have to always define your words because if you don't. The secular kind of world can kind of confuse you, or they can use it against you when you don't define your terms.
Right,
so
and because obviously the Bible was written in Greek, and that's why it was written. Yeah, originally exactly.
It
Greek,
was
right?
So Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, okay, Aramaic, cool.
A bit of Aramaic. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. the word was.
So it's a Latin word actually, which I think that's a bit later, but Latin. Which means knowledge anyway, and that's the foundation of the word science. So science essentially means knowledge, and that's it. And scripturally, when we're looking at scripture, Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. So replace the word knowledge with science.
And exactly. You can say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all science.
There
Do you
we
know
go.
It's so funny that you said that. Mm. That is actually mad. I was. It's a bit off topic, but I was listening to an interview with Pharrell, and it was Kirk Franklin and Pharrell were discussing the Bible, and Pharrell basically said to Kirk, if you replace the word God in the Bible with the word universe, to him, it makes a lot more sense.
Mm.
Now, I don't know what the original word for universe is, and I don't know if...
you don't know the Latin word for universe?
I don't know the Latin word. No. I mean, I don't know the Latin word.
Neither do I.
But imagine if it was like God. Do you get what I mean? Like, I just think...
Well,
I
would disagree, however. Reason being is because
God created the universe. Yeah. So it's not God created God.
That's a view. That's called the pantheistic view, which is going into philosophy, to be honest.
Okay,
pantheistic view, which is that the universe is a manifestation of God. So there are different views. We are Christians here, so we have the theistic view, which is God is outside of time, space, and matter. So he created the universe, but he's not in the universe in that sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's the theistic. That's our theistic view. There's the atheistic view that you don't believe in God, agnostic,
you're not sure.
And then there's the pantheistic view, which is the whole belief that God is
the universe.
So everything is the universe. That's what some people believe, animals are part of God.
We are all
gods. So they're actually different views. If you're going to define them, they are quite different. So okay.
South Park
speaking,
did an episode on that.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. Mm. But they did it in a way, they basically said that Earth and the universe is a reality show and aliens are just watching us on their version of Sky.
Oh my gosh.
Basically
Thank you, South Park, for enlightening us always. You know, always giving that enlightenment. Cool.
That's interesting.
It is. So you were saying about the science.
Science, as I was saying with the whole Proverbs 1:7 thing, science isn't possible without the Bible. And reason that is, now, when we're looking at science is based on predictions. Like, obviously, science is based on, you can only do science because gravity is the same constantly. You can only do science because the sun rises in the same exact way. So science only works based on the fact that they can predict that tomorrow the sun's going to be there, so we can do science on it. You know, gravity is going to be the same tomorrow as it is today, so we can put space shuttles in the atmosphere, whatever. If that wasn't the case, then you couldn't do science. If gravity decided to change tomorrow, then obviously you couldn't do science, because to be honest, we'd all be dead. If gravity actually changed, shifted a tiny bit, we'd all be dead. Mm-hmm. But scripture is the only place that verifies that the world is going to remain constant. Hebrews 1:3, Genesis 8:22 as well. Hebrews 1:3 says that Christ, he upholds the world by the power of his word. So that's talking about he actually upholds. We actually got confirmation that the world's going to remain the same, that he's actually upholding it. And Genesis 8:22, I think it is, talks about, you know, as long as the earth remains, seed time, harvest, day and night, cold and heat, blah, 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 all of that will remain. If that wasn't the case, then how could you trust tomorrow to be the same as today? When secular scientists do their science, they take for granted the fact that tomorrow is going to be the same as today, but they've actually got no foundation for that. There's no reason what, like, there's no law. What's that?
For it to not be the same.
Exactly, yeah, there's no reason. The only reason that would make sense is that someone put that in place. Someone put that law. Gravity is a law. Laws always come from a mind, don't they? When we set laws as a government. Yeah. So the fact that we've got gravity, which is a law, that has to have come from somewhere outside of the world, because no human created gravity. Yeah, so the only answer is a God. You can't even say that. So when they do their science, they're actually taking God for granted. Let's put it that way.
Laws come from a mind.
Oh my God.
Laws come from a mind, and that just blew my mind, boy.
I got a question. Yeah. Global warming.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Coming from all angles.
I'm taking it that way. Yeah. Is it real? Because me, I'm trying to be woke out here, you know.
Is it real? Of course it's real.
No, I think it's real. I want confirmation. Do you know what I'm saying?
Want biblical confirmation.
I want biblical confirmation.
I can't actually confirm that. But the funny thing is, honestly,
you're not that cool.
Honestly, because I've heard two different things. From some scientists, you hear that it is true. From others, you hear that it's not. But for me, with the whole global warming issue, it's not such an issue. Reason being, because going back into the end times, it's not actually going to affect us, because Christ is going to come way before it. Global warming, the greenhouse effect, affects anything on Earth. Yeah. So realistically, even though it could be an issue, and I haven't done enough research on that, but it's actually not going to affect us. But if you're from the worldview of, you know, secular science and all that stuff, and the world's going to continue for millions of years, obviously it's going to affect you, because for if you don't believe in God, you just believe the world's going to continue, so you need to do something about it. But not in our view.
I've done some research.
I'll
just explain real quick. I watched the movie 2012, and basically basically they're preparing to go to Mars. Last week, okay. Barack Obama was like, yeah, man. And what's his name? The CEO of Tesla. I will remember his name. I cannot believe I've forgotten his name. Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah.
Elon Musk. He said, yeah, we need to go to Mars. Why does everyone want to go Mars all of a sudden? Mm. Why does everyone go to Mars? You'll just flatten like a pancake anyway. But yeah,
yeah, there are missions to Mars, I think, at the moment, like currently taking place, to be honest. Mm. Yeah. Mm. But again, our worldview doesn't say we need to do that, because this world's not going to last for that long. So
I got another question. I know these are stupid. They're not as, they're not as, you know, as complex and structured like these guys, yeah? But are there aliens? Are there any aliens around?
It's a good question.
Huh?
Is it Genesis 6, the Nephilim voice?
Because I expect him to know. These guys don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
That's funny. Yeah, no, I'll be blunt. There's no such thing as aliens.
Aliens?
So there isn't life on any other...
No, and there can't be, because of... There are many issues. There's a theological issue for that.
Go on.
Think about it, because Christ only died for humans. Mm. So if there were aliens, then they would be... they would be going to hell. They have no way of coming to Christ, basically. Because when you look at scripture, it says that in 1 Corinthians 15, Adam was the first man, Christ was the last Adam, and Christ died once for all men. So if you're now talking about aliens, how are they going to be? Where's their salvation?
I don't expect them to have any salvation. I just want to know if they exist.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I don't care about their salvation. Well, that's just raw, if they exist.
That's raw.
They can go to hell, but...
Yeah. But wow. Do they exist?
I think...
Does
that mean I looked into it a while ago. How long was it? Not even... It was quite a long while ago. And... it was basically, biblical science and stuff.
Yeah.
And they spoke about, I think it's Genesis 6, was it?
Where the sons of God
came down.
But then, no, I wouldn't consider them aliens, though.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, because people said, those are the aliens. Because obviously, they're coming from above, and this is what people...
No. So what Enoch's talking about is what's known as the Nephilim, which were supposedly like angels, bad angels that... came down to Earth and they started mixing with the females and they produced spiritual kind of it's a theory.
A lot of alien theories and stuff is basically like cross mixing, like
so the alien I come down and I breed woman, boy.
It's a theory, but
I just like the way it looks.
But let me just clarify the whole alien issue. No, I would personally, and pretty much all biblical scientists would say no. Reason being, obviously, there are a few scriptures that indicate this. Deuteronomy 10:14.
You know your words, it's so impressive.
I'm trying to record them, man. There's a few scriptures, and there's that one. There's Psalms 115:16 as well, which it talks about the fact that the earth was created to be inhabited, but the heavens, which is the universe, is for God's glory. Psalms 19. Talks about that.
Yeah. So the universe is for God. So God is just basically saying, look what man can do. See, I got this planet out here. Basically, I got Jupiter. Basically. But you man can't even go there.
Yeah.
Basically. I just created it just so you could show what I can do.
Didn't he use it? Didn't he create all these things for signs and seasons?
Exactly. Basically he created, that was the sun and the moon for signs and seasons.
Wasn't it the stars as well or something? Like,
stars, not really. Well, the sun is a star, but
the sun is,
So in a sense, you can say that, but the sun and the moon, signs and seasons.
Oh my god.
360. I just wanted to say last point. Sure. Even from the secular science point of view, they don't ascribe to the fact that there aren't aliens because they want there to be. But even there's something called the Fermi paradox, where a guy called Fermi something, I don't know his full name, he came up with the idea, he was a scientist one day, that based on their worldview, which is the universe is 13.8 billion years, and planets and all that stuff came about 10 billion years and all of that stuff. So based on those calculations, there should be aliens that have colonized the planets or the universe or whatever. Wow. Based on his prediction, he then posed the question, where are all the aliens? And that's now, if you type it on Google, type in the Fermi paradox. And it's the fact that secular science, they expect there to be aliens now, but even them, they've seen no evidence of that. Awesome. So to even suggest that there are aliens is honestly, it's just speculation. There's nothing scientific about it.
Interesting. And you mentioned earlier that, you know, salvation is for men.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean my dog won't go to heaven?
That's a good question. I like that. Yeah.
Will my dog not go to heaven?
No, your dog is not going to heaven.
Michael does not have a dog. I don't have a dog.
Okay, I don't have a dog.
Oh, you don't even have a dog.
Why should I love it then? Why should I be spending my time loving that thing if it's just going to die on me?
I love Scruffy.
Yeah. It should join me.
I love Scruffy, man.
I want it to join me in the heavenly realms.
All dogs go to heaven, man.
That would be nice.
It would be.
But reason for that now, this is going theologically now, but the reason for that is, if you think about it, humans were created with three parts. We were created with a physical body, a soul, and a spirit. But animals don't have a spirit. The spirit is what connects you to God. Because animals don't have a spirit, they've got a soul, but the soul is your emotions and your mind. So everyone has to have that, of course. But obviously, humans, we've got a separate connection. We've got the spirit which connects us to God. That's why we can go to heaven or hell. But animals, when they die, and that's it. There's nothing aside from their soul and their physical body. That's the reason they're not going to go. They were created for God's glory, in a sense, and for us to eat them.
Hold on. I was just about to ask. Obviously, because I'm a music head, so there are a few people that I look up to in terms of music. Yeah. Russell Simmons is one of them, you know, founder of Def Jam and that. And one thing that he always says, because I watch a lot of his videos, and he owns a channel on YouTube called All Deaf Digital, but you know, that's another conversation. He said, and he's a vegan as well.
Oh, okay.
And one thing that he's always said since he's turned to a vegan, he's like, it says in your Bible, as he says in your Bible that we should have dominion over the animals. It doesn't mean we should eat them, but we should, you know, look after them. That's why he's a vegan. He's like, you know, because you shouldn't eat animals.
No, yeah. No,
so I want to, I just wanted you to clarify what is dominion? So over the earth the inhabitants of the earth. What is it? Is it to eat, or is it, you know,
to care for and look after them and stuff?
Because then I'd ask, why are all these men got dogs and cats?
I read a post on Instagram about that very thing, and your Bible also says that we can eat meat, and that the one who chooses not to eat meat unto the glory of God, so someone like Russell Simmons, if he is being a vegan unto the glory of God, he should not.
He's not a Christian, though.
Exactly. So he's not. He's not a Christian.
No, he's he does Buddhism.
He's Buddhist.
Yeah, he does yoga and them things.
So he's saying your Bible.
Bible.
No.
Why should we listen to someone?
I'm not saying that we should, but it's just interesting the way that he's interpreted it. So I wanted to ask a question.
So I'm not getting to.
I'm sorry, Michael. Go.
So he's saying you should. Your Bible also says that the one that doesn't eat meat should not judge the person who does eat meat unto the glory of God, and the person who does eat meat unto the glory of God should not judge the person who doesn't eat meat unto the glory of God.
Yeah.
And if you eating meat will cause your brother who doesn't eat meat to sin, then don't eat meat.
That's correct.
It's basically what it says. So when they're saying all of this, your Bible, make sure that you're, do you know what I mean, like cross referencing and reading your Bible,
because
he should know that your Bible also does say you can eat meat.
Yeah, okay, cool.
He's actually answered it.
Eradicate his first argument, basically.
Now I'll
yeah, sorry, that was just my thing, but yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah, I'll just clarify as well. So Genesis 29 kind of onwards, and should I read it or would it take too long?
No, read it.
Okay, so yeah, 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God made so and so and forth. Basically, that's the first command where we're all vegans, kind of. We don't eat meat. Second place that we go to now, Genesis 9, which says that we do eat meat, which is, if we actually find it now,
same book.
Genesis 9:3, I think it is. Hold on, give me time. Because I want to actually, so Genesis 9:3, that says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb, I have given you all things. So
green herb.
Green herb.
So that answers that. Yeah. Last thing, your scripture now, which you were talking about, is Romans 14:14. And that directly says, I know and I am persuaded by the Lord, hold on, Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean, which is exactly what you were talking about.
So if
basically,
like, a lot of people choose not to eat pork.
Yes.
And it's not.
But it says, like, in Deuteronomy, though.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing.
Yes.
What it said, if anything you deem to be unclean is unclean. And if you don't deem it to be unclean, then it's not unclean.
So I should be allowed to eat pork and not feel nothing about it.
If you feel like it's right. If your conscience doesn't tell you that it's wrong, 100%. Then yes.
It's not because I'm a light swine. I'm a light swine.
Swine, like the beer can.
Me like the beer can.
Beer can. No, what's it? Basically, like, it also says, I can't remember where. But Nathan, you'll have to confirm.
if I can.
It says it's not what you eat that makes you unclean, it's what comes out of the mouth. It's not what goes into the mouth, Jesus, but it's what comes out of the mouth. Yes, it's Jesus that said this. So, like, you can eat whatever, or you can eat, not you can eat whatever, you can eat basically and say, and it could be unclean meat, quotation marks, but what you're saying, what you're producing, the fruit of your lips basically are the things that actually make you unclean.
Mm. However though, hasn't it been, because I don't know science, yeah, but hasn't it been scientifically proven that, you know, if you eat a lot of red meat, it's not good for you?
If you eat a lot of anything, it's not good for you.
Okay, boom. Okay, cool.
No, but I see what you're saying, because red meat, it basically gives you, you're more likely to get cancer.
Exactly.
It's true. And the biblical diet is the initial Genesis 1-9. The herbs and fruits and all that stuff. So it is good to have that stuff.
Is that why Rastas eat herbs and fruits and they don't like Rastafarians? Is that because they probably, I know they're very Old Testament focused, so that might be.
It could be, to be honest. I don't actually know.
Yeah. I have another question, and I'm digressing from food. I want to talk about marijuana.
No, but so, hold on. Before we get into that,
we're going outside of my field, to be honest.
Talking about science, yeah. About we'll save that.
We went outside of my field.
We don't want to go.
It's just coming into my head. Yeah, that's
why I said the herb, innit?
The herb, you know, because I saw a Rasta man selling it in Lucian when I got your patty.
Yeah, the other day. Mm. Yeah, speak.
What race was Adam and Eve? How can we turn white to black or black to white? Like, where's that? Yeah, like, where is that? Also, evolution, dogs, all these different kind of breeds. Like, where? How are they generating themselves? All that stuff.
But okay. Enoch, remember.
Yeah, what was the first true race?
We are only one race, the human race.
The human race.
Get out of here.
No, he's correct.
It's correct. You see? He's it's correct.
I feel like singing Earth Song.
Oh, my. That's a big topic, though. But 100%, funny enough, that was the last talk I did at my church, the whole topic of racism and stuff.
Oh, right.
So let's hash this out as quickly as we can. Mm-hmm. He's correct. There's only one human race. There's no such thing as racism. Genesis 1:27, Acts 17, 16, I think it is. I think it's Acts 17:16 anyway. It says that we're all of one blood. All nations of men are of one blood. Mm-hmm. And Genesis 1:27, you know, God in the image of God, in the image of God, male and female were created. So firstly, we all came from two original human beings. So to say that there's other races means that God would have had to created other people aside from Adam and Eve at that time, which is not what scripture indicates at all. And obviously, Acts 17 is Paul. He's talking to the Greeks and he's telling them, because they have the mindset of, you know, Greeks with different gods and all that stuff. He was telling them that, no, God created us. He created Adam and Eve at the beginning, and we're all of the same blood. So there's no such thing as racism. And another thing that confirms that is science. Science actually, when I say, oh, so he has...
Yeah, because you said there's no such thing as racism.
There's no such thing as racism. It depends on when you do, if you want to define racism differently, then there can be.
Because isn't racism, it's hate towards a certain demographic just because?
Yeah, but yes, that's
correct.
But
you're basically saying because we are all one race.
Exactly, yeah.
That it isn't the racism. Fundamentally, it's more like hatred. Demographicism.
Yeah, it's culturism. Culturism, that makes sense.
Right. I'm going to just say one thing, Don't come with this All Lives Matter thing right here. Don't bring it here. Don't bring it here.
I'm not going to say that anyway, but... So, I don't even know where I am now. What was I saying?
Yeah, the...
we're all race, science. All one race.
Oh, yeah, of course. So edit that out. even science confirms this. The Human Genome Project now, which is one of the biggest scientific kind of projects that happened on the human genome, which is the human DNA and makeup. They even confirmed, and this is from a secular science organization. The guy that was heading is Dr. Venta, who's a atheist scientist. He even claimed that there's only one race, the human race. So from there's no standpoint for racism, because from science and from the Bible, they both said the same thing. But the funny thing is the Bible said it 6,000 years earlier. Mm-hmm. That's all. The Bible's always early on these things of science and on science, basically. The Bible always says it earlier. Secular science always catches up a lot later on. So the scientific kind of report came out in the year 2000. Whereas Genesis 1:27, you know, that was the first book in the Bible.
Right.
God said that at the beginning.
So what we're seeing is culturalism rather than racism.
Because absolutely.
According to the Bible, we are all one
race. We're one race, yep. And to be fair,
with people that do say, you know, we are the human race and there isn't, you know, any other, you know, we're not different, we are the human race. That is congruent with the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. Absolutely. You know, and the funny thing is, we look at this whole issue of race because of skin color. Funny thing is, there's no such thing as different skin colors now. There's only one skin color for everyone in the world. Reason being, because there's a pigment, which I'm sure you guys have heard of, called melanin.
Melanin
in the skin, pigment, yeah. Which is, it's a brown pigment.
Yeah.
Everyone in the world has that. A lighter brown person, white people, just have less melanin, whereas we have darker, we have more melanin.
Wow. So if we all have...
Everyone. Actually, I'm not going to say anything. Oh. If we if we all have melanin... Actually, no, you know what? Cut that, because I'm going to... Are we done?
I feel like we've...
Yeah, I think we got enough.
I feel like even the asked about the dog breeding thing, the evolution of different horses and different dogs and all that stuff as well. So I wanted to touch on animals as well, because
so just
like
real quick, okay, evolution. Last
just
thing,
real
yeah.
quick, yeah. yeah. So like dogs, horses, all this stuff. Obviously, we've seen in books and textbooks, and we've seen photos of different kinds of horses and dogs.
Yeah.
Different breeds. There's like what, a thousand? Or, I can't. How many?
I don't know.
Hundreds of breeds of dogs.
Yeah.
So what, like, how is that possible? Like, that shows, I mean, I'm not saying it proves evolution, but that points to evolution in a sense, because all these different kind of breeds, you know what I mean? What do you have to say about
first thing I'll say is, it doesn't point to evolution at all. It actually points to what the Bible says in Genesis. Mm. So again, the Bible is always correct when it talks on biology, astronomy, geology. The Bible is always correct, and it's always correct years before secular science catches up. Now, now when we're looking at the dogs and all that stuff, let's use dogs as an example now.
Yeah.
So Genesis 1, day 6, I think it is, God creates the land animals. So dogs would have been there. So it would have been. And they're called kinds, by the way, not species. There's a different terminology.
Oh, yeah, species,
obviously, the secular world uses the word species. The Bible uses the word kind, different terminology, which means that from the two distinct kind of dogs, like male and female, they have enough genetic information. For example, you know, your parents had you and you're slightly different to them because they had genetic information and you're like a combination of their genetic information, but you're slightly different. Exactly the same way a dog at that time of creation or any animal had a bunch of genetic information that God would have put in.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing now is just a bunch of variations of dogs from the time of creation, which actually makes perfect sense. Notice this, they're still a dog. Evolution teaches that from a single-celled bacteria, everything came into being. But when you're looking at actual science, all you ever, or any scientist has ever observed is a dog producing another dog. We've only seen a human produce another human, yet they expect you to believe that a different animal can produce a different animal.
So,
and they're teaching backwards compared to what the Bible teaches, which is correct.
So basically, they're believing in something that they haven't seen. They're just seeing, they're seeing like pictures of two different animals and saying, oh, that went from that to that.
Exactly, yeah. The whole Darwin's Tree of Life thing, which shows bacteria to humans at the top.
Yeah.
Half of it is speculation. The part that we do see is dogs always birthing dogs. Yeah, cats always have cats. Horses always have horses. They're in the, so a dog would be in the dog kind. Cat would be in the cat kind. Horse would be in the horse kind. Bird in the bird kind. Yeah. And that's exactly what scripture says. It says that animals will produce after their kind. So then to say that at some point in the past it was different, you're going against science. You're not. It's not even that you're going against the Bible. You're actually just going against science, because observational science, science is based on observing, testing, and repeating. We can observe that dogs produce dogs always. We can observe that cats produce cats always. So it's just going against science. Let's even leaving out the Bible.
So basically what you're saying, we shouldn't say God created dogs. We say God created canines.
You could say dogs, because we can use it as our terminology.
Okay,
today,
terminology.
You can,
okay.
What you should
but
say.
But their kind is canine, though.
Yeah, exactly. Some the technical. I don't even know the technical term for it. But
dogs and horse.
Horse. You could
like
just say
mule or something like. Is it mule?
I don't
mule?
Know. Too. I honestly just use the most speed. Of us just use the standard term horse, cat, dog.
Yeah. Because okay,
it's a bit too technical generalized. To go into that, unless you're a real scientist, which I'm not. So,
Last question. So this is based on humans and evolution. So you spoke about, you know, dog give birth to dog, cat give birth to cat. What was the form of humans at the beginning? Because you know the theory is that we came from monkeys, and you know Julius that is in the zoo is related to me.
you know.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they say.
So,
because we match DNA in a yeah, lot of ways.
That yeah, can be, that can be easily destroyed, but okay. We do, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll tackle that one. And I'll go to that one. So we match monkey DNA, whatever. They used to say 98%. It's not 98% because that was based on, they looked at 2% of our genetics, basically. Like, let's say my entire body. Let's take that sample of me, and let's take that sample of an animal of the monkey. They looked at the genetic similarities of that section alone.
So like, and your it happened knee to be yeah, a monkey's knee or something.
Exactly,
like
whatever.
That.
Okay. Yeah, happened to be 98%. When they did the whole body, now it became 75%. So obviously, there's a big distinction there. But secondly, even if that was the case, the relatedness doesn't prove anything, because when you think about it, a car, you've got different versions of a Ford car. You've got Ford Focus, Ford Fiesta, Ford. What's another Ford car? You
can Ford Galaxy.
Ford Mondeo.
Right. Does that mean that they evolved from a skateboard 4.5 billion years ago? Just no. Because skateboard is a more simple version of a car. You know, it's got four wheels, obviously, it moves yeah. forward. So you could then justify a skateboard obviously evolved into a car.
Yeah.
Obviously, the parts came over millions of years, you know. The parts that didn't work kind of just went to the side. They became, what's the word, extinct. And only the Ford cars made it today.
So we're
with
basically...
With that view, you could justify anything.
So we're basically just Lego pieces, you know, just put us together, you know.
Yeah, he put us together correct at the beginning. Now, it makes more sense that there was a common designer, because obviously Ford cars had a common designer. They had Henry Ford. That's actually observable, observational science. Obviously, that points to the same thing as with us. The same way that Ford cars were created, but there's different versions of them, and they all have similar parts. They're probably 98% similar. The same way humans and monkeys are related, but that points to a common designer rather than...
They have exactly. the same designer.
Common
they
designer.
Have the same designer.
And
yeah.
another
the
point,
same design.
Panda,
yeah.
panda. Another wow. point, let me just throw it out there, is if we weren't that similar in the relatedness, we couldn't eat other animals. The only reason we can eat other animals is because of what's known as symbiotic relationship. Basically, our DNA. If you couldn't, if you think about it, if you couldn't eat, if you could, sorry, if our DNA was so dissimilar to them, our bodies would reject them and we could only eat other humans. So God actually, he obviously he knew this, so he made us similar on purpose so that we can eat the dog, we can eat the cat, which we don't do, yeah, or we can yeah, eat the chicken yeah. or whatever.
Or the monkey.
Or the monkey, if
I
you want.
I the monkey, but I'm sure if you season it up well, we
can jerk any animal.
Jerk monkey.
You can eat any animal.
You know?
So if
you try
that
out, you know.
Sense, it all points to what the Bible has always been saying from the
Jeez,
beginning.
Biology and that.
Yeah. Biology. Live. Yeah, constantly. Yeah.
Live.
Awesome. Well, man, that was actually very insightful.
Mm.
Thank you very much, Nathan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining, man.
Jeez, all good.
I'll be waiting.
Good.
No from when we started this, I always had you in mind as well. I even told you as well.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to have you here, man.
Thanks, man. Very it was good. A pleasure to be here.
Where can we find you? Do you have... I know, obviously, you have like a website and all you where you give all this information. You have events coming up.
Mm.
And all that stuff. So let us know what is your Twitter, what is Facebook group, Facebook page, everything.
Yeah. So basically, I have a ministry that I started, which actually I started with my mum this year, last year, kind of. And we do this kind of stuff. So my mum does revelation and a lot of theology, and I do more of the apologetics and this type, you know, science and history and all of that stuff. So our ministry is called Proverbs 19:21 Ministries, which basically, if you just type that in on social media platforms, you'll find us. So YouTube, Proverbs 19:21 Ministries, Facebook, same thing, Proverbs 19:21. I think our Twitter is Proverbs 19:21M because
it doesn't let you do more than 16 characters. I had that issue with the point.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yes. Exactly that. And our website is the same thing, www.proverbs1921ministries.org. And we feature, I write a lot of articles on these topics on the website. And there's a whole bunch of different things that you can kind of check on the website as well. Yeah, man. So that's it.
Sweet. Nice one, man. Thank you very much. Thank you. Round
Thank
of
you.
Applause.
Woo, 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 woo.
I gotta click that one out.
That's what we do. We only do clicks here. There ain't no claps.
Ah, keep clicking.
All right, guys, we've come to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Follow us on all our social media platforms. Twitter at The Point Says, Instagram The Point Official, Snapchat The Point Live. Be sure to go on our website, read the blogs, comment, have a good little old chat between yourself and your friends. Yeah, now sit back, relax, and listen to the musical productions of Enoch. It's been The Point, SWTP, straight to the point, and we're out.